We need to understand that true worship isn't the songs that we sing when we come to church. Music produces emotions, and music can be an expression of our worship, right? But music do not produce worship and is not the origin of the worship. Music don't produce worship.
True worship cannot be limited to a feeling, place, or person. John chapter 4, verse 24 states it well by saying, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our feelings can lead us astray. You can be restricted from a place of worship. And a person, they can let you down. However, worshiping God in spirit and in truth is the true definition of worship. Come, let's join Sister Eureka McCray as she explains.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The presence of the Lord has been in this place since I walked through the door. His anointing, his glory, his power is in this house. And I don't know about you, but tonight we're going to talk about worship. But God's presence is in this place. Just sit in where you at and just embrace his presence so he can move on the lives of his people today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Your presence is in this place. Your presence is in this house, Lord God. And we love you, Lord. And we love you, Lord, today. We praise you. We worship you. We exalt you. We esteem you. We glorify you. We depend on you. We said, lest ye build a house, the labor's in vain, Lord God. We worship you in this place, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Have your way today, Father. It's not about me, Lord. It's about your glory. It's about doing your will. It's about serving you. It's about obeying you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're so good all the time. You're so good. Even when we don't deserve it, you're still good. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. For cleansing, for washing, for restoring, for salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You got to take time and let God have his way. We're always rushing stuff. We're always doing protocol. We always got to do scheduling and tradition. But sometimes you just got to sit down and let God have his way. Let him have his way in your life so he can speak to you, so he can lead and guide you, so he can show you the way that you should go. You got to sometimes just be still and know that he's God. So today we're going to talk about true worshipers, the ones that God is looking for, the ones that God is seeking out, the ones that God need in this time of perverse and wicked generation. We're going to talk about true worship today. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. First, I want to introduce myself. My name's Eureka McCray, as Sister Hornbuckle said, and my husband Mike's over there, and our daughter Mariah's over there. And we're just grateful to God and grateful for the Hornbuckles, for their love for God and their submission to God and their ability to step out and trust God, take a risk on some people. You know, used to teach in the prisons in Anchorage before we moved here 4 years ago. And I used to go out into the prisons and teach in Highland Correctional Center on Sundays. And I used to go to the Cadover Center, which is a halfway house in Anchorage, on Thursdays and teach the men. And never would I thought that I'd be standing here teaching or even sharing the word of God. But God will use anyone who will yield themselves. And that's where we come in with the true worshipers. And so that's going to be my message today. And, you know, I had a hard time sitting over there because, you know, God's been too good to me for me just to sit there and look. And so I'm going to try to encourage you today and to have a lifestyle of worship, not a church service of worship, but a lifestyle of worship. And so when God was dealing with me about the true worshipers, he took me to John, where Jesus was with the Samaritan woman. Do you guys remember the Samaritan? At the well. And so we're going to start there. We're going to go into John 4:7-24. And we're going to start there. You know, I'm just going to do a short prayer because I've already got a little worship on. So I'm just going to do a short prayer. But the reason why I do that is because I like to let God know he's in control. And I'm going to die to myself that he can rise up and use me for his glory. So, Father, I thank you this day that you have made. I thank you for the privilege and the honor to once again to be used by you and to also worship at your throne. I thank you for these people that you have drew here today because it is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that their hearts are ready to receive what thus the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them this day, and their ears are open to hear, Lord God. I decrease that you may increase, Lord God. Not my will, but thy will be done, Father God. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to rise up out of me and pull up anything and everything necessary to minister to the hearts and lives of these, your people, Lord God. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for trusting me with your word this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read the story because I try to extract some of the things out, but I'm going to have to read the whole part of this story. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. And I hope we do come to church with our Bibles because the Bible is what? The word of God. And that's how we live. And I'm going to start with the story. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had already gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Because, you know, the Jews and the Samaritan, they didn't have any fellowship together. You know, Jesus, you know, you don't talk to women in public without their husbands present. And so she was operating under the law, asking, you know, why are you asking me for a drink? But, you know, Jesus is grace. And so there is no law when it comes to Christ. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drink from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. and the one whom you have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, the hour is coming, and now is, where Jesus, God is looking for the true worshipers. And that's where we're at. Jesus wasn't pointing out that the time was coming when we worship would not. Jesus was pointing out that the time was coming when worship would not be a matter of some external place, but rather it would be in spiritual nature. Jesus was pointing out that it's not no longer where you're saying is on the mountain or in Jerusalem, but the place of worship is inside of you. He said the time is coming and is now, where God is looking for the true worshipers. And that's where I'm calling for you today, is God is looking for the true worshipers in this perverse and this wicked generation. In Acts 17:24, the God who created the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Aren't you so grateful to God that you don't have to wait to get the church to worship him? Aren't you glory to God that worship is inside of you and God is where you are? Aren't you grateful to God that you don't have to try to get a hold of somebody, they don't answer their phone, to get some acclamation or say, help me with this? Aren't you glad for Jesus? He said, the time is coming and the time is now, where God is looking for true worshipers. We can't play church no more. It's over. It's over. Jesus is coming back. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but he's coming, right? He said, behold, he's coming back. He's coming back for the church. It's in us, right? We need to be ready, and we need to have a relationship with the Father. True worship is defined by the priorities we place on God in our lives. And where God is on our priority list, Jesus was talking to his disciples about true worship. It's where we place God at in our lives. Where is God at in your life? Where have you placed God at? Where does God reign in your life? You know, we need to sit back and we need to analyze and we need to take a look and examine ourselves. Let's look at Jesus was talking. We're going to go to another scripture. You can reference Acts 17:24. We didn't have to turn there, but that was just part of the scripture where he was talking about, you know, he's coming. He's looking for the true. The time is now. And that's, I just wanted to reference that so you can look at that later. So we're going to go to Mark 12:29-30, where Jesus was talking to some of the Sadducees about what was the first and most important commandment. Where are we placing God at in our life, saints? Where is he at? Is your job more important? Is getting more money more important? Is being seen more important? Having a title, is that more important? Is your husbands and your children more important than Christ? Because that's out of order. He said, he's Lord. He said, I'm a jealous God, and you place no one before me. That's no one and nothing. There's a place in God where only he believes in, where only he belongs in our hearts. And here Jesus told him the first and most important one is, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one God, right? There's only one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul life and with all your mind thought, understanding, and with all of your strength. Worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness and our love for God. He said that is first, to love God. That is the first, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. He said that's the first, that's the most important thing, is to love God. And then Apostle Paul said it this way. You know, I love Apostle Paul. He was a bad brother in Christ. He said it this way in Romans 12:1. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, he said, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. That's the Amplified version. He said, that's the least thing you can do, right? Is to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing unto God. How are you going to do that if you don't even know the Lord? How are you going to do that if you don't love him, if you don't put him first, if you don't place conditions on God? What are you going to do when he don't show up when you think he should show up? How are you going to act in? Everybody want to blame things on the Lord, right? Oh, God didn't do, oh, look what happened here. Oh, God did this. Oh, God did that. He said, I'm a loving God. He said, I'm a loving God. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. I loved you so much, I sent my only begotten son to die for you. And Paul said, giving yourselves as a living sacrifice, that's the least you can do for what Jesus has done for us, right? He went on the cross. He paid the price. They talked about him. They dogged him out. They ridiculed and persecuted him. That's the least Paul said we can do, right? Is give ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Lord. Oh, I love the Lord today. I don't know about you, but I'm going to praise him and I'm going to worship him and I'm going to thank him for what he's done. And I'm going to give him glory. And if he doesn't do nothing else, guess what? He's done enough. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. True worship, what God looks at, have to be God-centered worship. God is looking for such people. Jesus told that Samaritan woman that he's looking for true worshipers. He wasn't trying to make her feel bad, or he was trying to extend grace to her. He was trying to say, you know, y'all coming to church and y'all looking all good and y'all stepping and you trying to see. He said, no, I'm looking for the true worshipers, one who will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, one from the heart, not the outward appearance, but one from the heart, one that only God can see. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not talking about no mountain. I'm not talking about no temple. The temple's you. I'm talking about the worship that God is looking for. He told the Samaritan woman, he said, I'm extending grace to you because the Lord's, you know not what you're saying. I'm looking for the true worshipers, is what the Lord is saying. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the wisdom and his knowledge to give us understanding of his word. Because if we didn't know, we know now, right? If we didn't know, we know now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We need to understand that true worship isn't the songs that we sing when we come to church. Music produces emotions. And music can be an expression of our worship, right? But music do not produce worship and is not the origin of the worship. Music don't produce worship. Sometimes we get caught up and we're trying to make folks clap their hands and come on now, let's pray. You know what? If you ain't gonna praise the Lord, that's between you and God. But I'm gonna praise him because worship is on the inside. The songs I sing is an expression of my worship to God. I don't know about you guys, but Sister Hornbuckle knows how to worship. She knows how to get a hold of God. She knows how to usher in his presence. She ain't looking at you. She's looking at the Father when she's praising God. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody is worthy than your Lord God. No one can love me like you love me, Lord. Nobody can do me like you do me, Lord. You are the rose of Sharon. Oh, you're the Lamb of God. You're the bread of life. You're Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the righteous God. You're the covenant-keeping God. You're the God that sits on the throne with all power in your hand. You're worthy, Lord. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Glory to God. That's what Sister Hornbuckle do. She's worshiping God. She's worshiping God. And if you don't worship him, guess what? She's still gonna worship God because it's not about you. It's about pleasing the Father. It's about pleasing the Father. Thank you, Lord God. Oftentimes we get so caught up in the music and the emotions. And when we leave church, we leave of all of who he is here. Because we came and we cried and we had an experience, but we didn't develop a relationship. Lots of time it's because we attribute worship to our emotions. You know, your emotions and your feelings don't move God. You know that, right? Folks is starving all over the world. Folks is hurting. Folks is sick. He's concerned, but that ain't what moved God. What moves God is faith and trusting in his word. That's what moves the hand of God. You can cry all day because I tried it. It don't work. You can snot and you can, no. You have to trust God and have faith in his word. That's what moves God. So you coming in here looking all spiritual, that ain't moving God because he already know what you're working with. I'm just going to keep it real. He already know what I said. I was going to be nice. He already know what you're working with. So we have to understand that our emotion, worship is not, you know, crying is not worship. You know, it's a part of what happens because I had to go fix my makeup. Crying because you love the Lord. You love him. But that's not what moves God. Our mindset is that feeling good, crying, excitement is worship, or that I need to be in church so that I can worship, or I need someone to get me excited to worship. The altar of God is in heaven, glory to God, and the place of worship is in us. Right? Jesus already came. He's laid it all out for us. The altar of God is in heaven, and the place of worship is in us. That's where the place of worship is. That's where we go in and draw is on the inside of us. God is looking for the true worshipers. He's looking for the true worshipers. Those like David, you get naked, come out your clothes. You ain't ashamed. I don't care what I'm looking like. That's what God's looking for, right? Those is not ashamed to lift their hands in worship. Or bow down as the elders did in Revelation and bow down and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was and is to come. Bowing down in worship. God's looking for the true worshipers. That's what the elders did in Revelation. They bow down in worship. Lifting your hand is worship if it's from your heart. Getting on your knees is worship. Anyhow way you do it, if it's from the heart, it's worship. It's from the heart, it's worship. Wow, God is good, y'all. All the time he's good. You know, we throw that out there. Some people say like a cliche. But is he really good to you? You know, if you think about where you were and where he's brought you from, my God, he's good, right? situations you didn't think you was going to be able to get out of, but he made a way out of no way. He's good, right? Wow. When you thought you was going to lose your mind, but he brought you back and kept you, sustained you. Yeah, right? He's good, right? Yeah. When you didn't have the money to pay the bills and somebody slid something in your hand, $100 bill, and he's good, right? Yeah, he's good. He's good like that, right? All because of our hearts to worship him. We can't play church anymore. It's over. The time is near and now where he's calling us, y'all, because we have to be available to be used by God. Because it's not just about us, right? We so worried about our stuff, you ain't even thinking about nobody else. Well, I need God to do this for me. I need, Lord. Well, what about Sister So-and-so who's a single parent trying to raise 4 or 5 kids by herself? Why can't you go to God and bless them? But no, you're trying to get your stuff, but that's another subject. That's another subject. At all times, we should worship him. In the good times, in the bad times, when we feel like it, when we don't. Obeying God is worship. Praying, reading the word, giving an offering, and that's another subject, but that's worship. Taking communion, serving others. It's an act of worship before the Father. And we need to be ready, saints. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, I want to, you know, look at David real quick, because you cannot talk about worship without talking about David, right? You can't even skip through the Bible and try to know worship if you don't hit on David. David was an anointed king, and he was in the field tending to the flock. And his love and worship in secret before God sought him out. David was in an unseen area in the flocks. You know, I came from Georgia, so my great-great-grandfather used to have pigs and cows and things of that nature. And he'd have on his overalls, and he'd be out there messing with them stinking pigs and tending to flocks and, you know, dealing with stuff. You know, David was out there in the flock. He was out there tending. You know, it was stinking out there, and, you know, he out there trying to make sure everything's taken care of. But as he was out there, he had to have been praising God. He had to have been worshiping God for God to seek him out, for God to know where he was at. He had to have been praising and worshiping God. You know, David was a murderer, if you read about him, an adulterer, and other things, but there was no denying that David loved God. God was looking for a king when David came about, right? He was looking for a king. And he told Samuel to go look for this king. You know, God told Samuel to go look, but guess what? God already knew where David was at. He was doing that for Samuel's benefit, right? He already knew where David was at. David's worship was a sweet aroma to God. He already knew where David was at, but he was just trying to help Samuel out. Go look for this king. Go down here, you know, and look for him. And he told him, he said he sent Samuel to look, and David was in the field praising and worshiping God. He wasn't complaining while he was there. Sometimes we complaining. He wasn't complaining about everybody in the house, you know what I'm saying, doing this and doing that. Well, how Sister So-and-so get that new car? Well, how she get that job? Who promoted her in the office? Where she get that new dress from? I thought they didn't have no money. David wasn't doing all that. He was, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You're so good. In the good times, in the bad, no matter where I'm at, Lord, I praise you. You're so good, as he tending to the flocks, right? But some of us, we like to complain. Mm-hmm. But true worship can worship in the midst of adversity, in the midst of storms, in the midst of unfavorable places and conditions. So when God sent Samuel, he gave him some instructions. In 1 Samuel, you can make a note of it. You don't have to turn to it. 16:7, the Lord said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or to his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So God said, don't look at all the tall ones, the big statues, muscle bound. You know, don't look at the ones that, you know, can go out and look like they can be in the battle. Don't look at them. He said, look, these are the instructions. Don't look. Everyone's lining up. Don't look at them. Because he already saw David way back in the field worshiping him. See, your worship will seek you out. God will find you where you're at. You're not hidden. He sees you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly your situation. He knows your circumstance. He already knows. And while you're sitting there worshiping him, he's sending somebody just like he sent Samuel. Go out there and get David. Bring him into here. Because I'm raising me up a king. I'm going to raise him up. Because what God raises up, can no man set down, right? What God raises up. So your situation is not too hard for God. He already know where you're at. Keep on worshiping him and praising him. So just because, you know, she or he looks like they got it going on, or they so talented, they can play, they can sing. I need them at my church. You better be careful wanting folks that can pray, I mean, that can sing and play and stuff. You better be careful. Because just because they can do that, their heart may not be nowhere near God. Their heart may be nowhere near. You want some people that loves God, because your singing capabilities have nothing to do with worship. Let me tell you that right now, because I worship all. My husband will tell you, I'm in the shout, hallelujah, I bless you, Lord. Oh, you're so worthy, Lord God. I'm singing all the time. It don't matter what you say or what you think, because my singing capabilities have nothing to do with my worship to my Father. So you better be careful, one folks in here that can sing and play. That may be all they can do. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. And in 1 Samuel 16:12, he told him to go out, because, you know, they had brought, you know, you got to read the Bible, because you read your Bible, you'll get some understanding of what God talks about. The Bible's some good stuff up in there. I mean, they get the scrapping and, you know, things happen and the power of God. There's a lot happening. You got to read your word so you can know what's happening. But he told him to go out, because all the ones they brought in before Samuel, neither one of them was the ones that God was looking at. No, not them, not them. There got to be another one somewhere. We already knew there was another one, because God already knew where David was at. So he told Jesse, sent the word, Jesse, go get him. Go get the whoever else is left out there. And then they brought him in as David. They said, now he had a ruddy complexion with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. That's what God told him. He said, arise, anoint him. This is him. This is him. Because of what? Because of his worship. Because of his heart towards God, because of his love for God, because where he put God at in his life. You know, we gotta get in a position here. David's attitude towards God was to love and to serve him and to please him. What's your attitude? What's your attitude towards God? Are you here to serve him? Are you here to love him? Are you here to please him? Are you here just to say, I went to church on Sunday. I showed up. I don't play, because I could be home sleeping, you know, cooking, doing some different things. But I show up because of my love for God, because I want to serve him, because I want to please him, because I want to be available to him. I want to be used by him for his glory. I want him to say on that day, well, good, thy good and faithful servant, for you have served me. That's what I wanted to say. You have served me. And so who didn't like him? Well, David, you know, he had a whole lot going on. David did some dirt too, so we ain't gonna go. But the problem is, the thing is with David, he knew how to get back in right standing with God. He knew how to get back in place with God. And so we've all messed up. We've all fallen short of the glory, right? But the thing that we have to do today is to know how to get back in right standing with God, and how to set our hearts and our affections to please God and to serve God and to love God. You know, this is what God said about David as I get ready to close here In Acts 13:22, he says, and when he had removed him, you know, he removed Saul out the way because Saul didn't obey him, he raised up David to be their king. Of him he testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, conforming to my will and purposes, who will do all of my will. God said, I have found the man. I found him. That means God is seeking, right? And when you find something, you got to be looking for something, right? The word of God says that the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro the earth, looking for whose heart. It's a heart thing. Who will serve him? Who will obey him? He said, I found a man. I found a man who will do my will. I found him. Don't you want God to look for you and find you so he can say, I found someone that'll do my will, that'll serve me, that won't be worried about what people say or what people do? You know, I wrote a couple little things. I just said, you can't make people worship God. They will either choose to or not. We can offer people the word of God and we can give it to them because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But people ultimately have to take it and accept it and apply the word into their lives in order to be doers of the words of God. True worship is from humility. You can't be boastful and prideful and offer up true worship. Worship causes God to move on your behalf and he will pass others up just for you. How many of David's brother did he pass up just for David? You know, they could have been just as good. They could have been just as capable, right? But because of the simple fact that David gave himself to God, as Paul talked about, as a living sacrifice, he surrendered all he was to God. And so I'm going to just, you know, they can come up and play, and we're just going to give God some time to have his way. If your lifestyle does not express the beauty of holiness through an extravagant or exaggerated love for God, and you do not live in the extreme or excessive submission to God, then you haven't made God a place of priority in your life. If someone have to force you to worship God, try and get you excited about God, then I invite you to partake in what Paul talked about, giving yourselves up to God as a living sacrifice so that you can be in a position where God can use you for his glory. And so I extend that to everyone in here, invite you to, you know, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I extend that invitation to you to make the Lord as your Lord and Savior. And if you're in a situation in your life where, you know, you've fallen off or you backsliding, God, Jesus is married to the backsliders, right? Oh, my God, he came for us so that we may have life and have it to the full until it overflows. I offer you a chance to experience Christ in an area that you've never experienced him. You know, and if you had other things in your heart that was in wrong place and you didn't have Christ, that's okay. He's so good that we can just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of what I've done wrong, willingly and unknowingly, that you can get back in a place with God. We need to be in the place of worship before the Father so we can hear him, so we can be and go and do what he says go and do. You know, we all see everything that's happening right now and things that are changing and laws and situations that's all coming against what the word of God says, right? But the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight with this carnal mindset or what you in this. We fight with spiritual warfare. We go into the heavenly realm and take it down by force, by the word of God. And so we need to understand that God needs us. He needs us to be in position. He needs us to be naked and unashamed before him so that he can use us for his glory. We all need to develop a relationship where we worship the Father. And if there's any of you in here, if you want prayer, if you want us to pray over you, if you want us to agree with you as you agree with the word, and if you want to make it right with God, I ask you to come up to the altar and be before the Lord and welcome him in this place. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for seeing us right where we're at, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. Thank you for paying the awesome price, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. I invite you to come and come before the throne so that God can do what he needs to do. Thank you, Lord. What a merciful God. What a just God. What a loving God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We can't do it without you, Lord. We can't do it without you, Lord. Our dependency is on you, Lord. I'm not ashamed, Lord, of the gospel of Christ. I don't care what they say. I don't care what it looks like. I praise you in this place, Lord God. We need you, oh great God. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. Help us, Lord God. Help us in our midnight hours. Help us when nobody else see but you see, Lord God. Strengthen us in our inner man, Lord God. Heal us when we're broken, Lord God. Restore, Lord God, everything that we have need of, Father. We draw nigh to you, that you're drawn nigh to us, Lord God. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Ah, yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you. Oh, we need you, Lord. Glory, Lord. Just like David, no matter how many times we mess up, you're there waiting. You're there waiting to forgive and to heal. You're there, Lord God. Even when we turn our backs on you, you're still there. Even when we walk away, you're still there, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can never not be loved by you, Lord. You love us with an everlasting love. You love us with a love that can't be compared, Lord God. You love us, Lord. You love us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands in complete surrender. Lift your hands in complete surrender. We surrender, Lord. We surrender, Lord. Not our will, but your will. We surrender, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We surrender, Lord. We surrender, Lord. We surrender, Lord. Our hands are lifted and surrender, Lord. Have your way. 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 Nobody but your Lord. Have your way. I surrender. 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 Have your way. Have your way. Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Have your way. Have your way. Glory to you, Lord God. Surrender. We surrender. Woo! Thank you, Lord. We surrender, Lord. Oh, we surrender, Lord. Oh, we surrender, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, every person that has come to this altar, I lift them up before you, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, everything that they have need of, I ask you to meet it in the name of Jesus. Father, I cover them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, Lord God. And I also remind you, Satan, that you've already been defeated. And every lie and every trap and every scheme that you have against this body, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I serve notice on your assignment today. You're under their feet. They can do all things through Christ who strengthened them. Glory to God. I thank you for their marriages, Lord God. I pray over their marriages, Lord God. I ask you to restore marriages, heal marriages, Lord God. Give them a refreshing, Lord God. Just like when David played for Saul, when Saul was afflicted, once David worshiped, Saul's affliction was lifted, Lord God. So I'm asking you to give them a refreshing, Lord God. A refreshing in their spirit, Lord God. A refreshing in their marriages, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you.
I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take the time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 states, "So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase." Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.